Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY26 earnings conference call of RBZ Jewellers Limited, hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of RBZ Jewellers Limited. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management beliefs as well as assumptions made by and the information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and the financial year under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Harit Zaveri, Joint MD and CFO of the company, Mr. Harshit Gandhi, Internal Financial Controller, and Mr. Bhavesh Sabnani, Senior Manager, Accounts and Finance of the company. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Harit Zaveri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Hina, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call for discussing our performance for the fourth quarter financial year 2026. Before I give you the financials and operational highlights of the period under review, let me first start by giving a brief overview of the company for some of those participants that may be new to our company. RBZ is one of the leading organized manufacturers of gold jewelry, transforming itself into a B2C segment. We are a unique jewelry company with a diversified business model, wherein we offer products to national retailers on a wholesale and job work basis, as well as direct to consumers from our flagship retail store in Ahmedabad. We have a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility equipped with advanced casting, laser, 3D printing technologies, supported by 280+ professionals and 200 skilled artisans. Because of our manufacturing setup and presence across both wholesale and retail segment, we are able to garner better margins than our peers. We offer a diverse range of jewelry collection comprising of different manufacturing techniques and varieties, but our specialty lies in antique gold bridal jewelry. Our flagship showroom, Harit Zaveri Jewellers in Ahmedabad, offers bridal, occasional, and daily wear jewelry across diverse price ranges. The product portfolio features a diverse selection of gold, silver, studded, and other jewelry, including bangles, chains, necklace, rings, earrings, etc. We are also planning to expand our retail presence in Rajkot, Surat, and Ahmedabad as well. Now, coming to the financial highlights for the period under review, the company reported a healthy performance during the quarter, with a revenue growth broadly in line with the guidance and expectations shared with investors in the previous quarter. The growth momentum was supported by festive demand, particularly during Akshaya Tritiya season. For the quarter under review, revenue from operations stood at 190 crores, registering a strong growth of 38% YoY. EBITDA for the quarter came in 21 crores, reflecting a healthy growth of 46%, with EBITDA margins improving to 11.19%, up 63 basis points year-on-year. Profit after tax for the quarter increased by 36% year-on-year to 12 crores, translating the PAT margins of 6.17%. For the financial year 2026, revenue from operations stood at INR 637 crores, reflecting a growth of 20% year-on-year. EBITDA for the year increased significantly by 43% to 92 crores, with EBITDA margins improving to 14.44%, an expansion of 233 basis points. Profit after tax for the yearly increased by 41% year-on-year to 55 crores, with PAT margins at 8.61%, reflecting continued improvement in profitability and operating efficiency. In terms of segmental performance for the quarter, retail revenue stood at INR 121 crores, registering a healthy growth of 31% year-on-year. Wholesale revenue stood at 67 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 57% Y-on-Y, while job work revenue stood at approximately 1 crore. Now coming to the operational highlights of the period under review. During the quarter, we actively participated in key exhibitions, including national level and state level, across B2B and B2C segments, further strengthening the brand visibility, market presence and customer outreach across market. We launched multiple digital campaigns to strengthen customer engagement and brand visibility across both occasion wear and daily wear categories. In occasion wear segment, campaigns such as Shwet, Kesuro for Holi, Akshay Tritiya and Red Breakers showcased company's gold polki and antique jewelry collections. Additionally, the company continued to strengthen the positioning of its lightweight and elegantly designed daily wear portfolio through targeted digital campaigns such as Viva and Polki Bridal across social media platforms, enhancing brand recall and customer outreach. During the quarter, we launched 730 new designs, averaging 8 designs per day, primarily in occasion wear segment, further strengthening our product portfolio. Additionally, we are set to commence certain products in-house in daily wear segment from quarter 1 FY27 with dedicated infrastructure in place. On the retail front, encouraged by the strong performance of our Ahmedabad store, we are now planning to expand in other key Gujarat markets, including Surat, Rajkot. Both the showrooms are targeted to commence operations by quarter 2 of FY27. Further, we are actively exploring strategic location in eastern Ahmedabad and nearby cities such as Gandhinagar for mid-sized stores of around 5,000 square feet and aimed at strengthening the regional presence and driving incremental growth. Overall, we concluded the financial year 2026 on a strong note and remain focused on carrying this momentum into the current fiscal year, supported by the preparation of upcoming wedding season and key regional festive across core markets. We continue to witness steady consumer demand in occasion wear segment ahead of the wedding season, while also optimizing our inventory mix with a greater focus on lightweight and budget-friendly product offering to cater to evolving consumer preference. With this, I now open the floor for questions and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Uchit Shah from Vimana Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking us through the presentation. I just had a few questions. So first is, due to recent increase in customs duty and the advance authorization on import of gold that was announced yesterday, do you see any impact on volumes or revenue or margins?
So, very immediate events, or it has just been few days that this all things are happening, and generally we would take some time, let's say a week or two, in fact a little bit more, to understand how the market and the consumers are reacting. While I understand that there are news and all, but this type of appeals the government has also done in past. We have seen in the previous government that, you know, things were announced. Now, what we are really waiting, or what we are really wanting to see, is what is happening on the actual ground levels, right? Like, are the customers slowing down, or is there exchange happening more? You know, so as like you, when we are studying, certainly, I think, these restrictions are not advantageous, but up to what level there is an impact is crucial, Now, when you talk about the industry, quarter one post Akshaya Tritiya remains low on in terms of sentiments and all in the buying. There is no buying season as such in, you know, late quarter one. So even if there is an impact on a, you know, it can be quite low because, you know, this has not come in the period of Navratri, Diwali, this type of announcements. So this is also seen as a positive sign that, okay, what will happen in the quarter, upcoming quarters and in the year, you know, we have to just understand and see. But generally, you know, like you, we are also understanding what is happening on ground. Doesn't look that discouraging, but certainly on the wholesome perspective, we have witnessed things like this in the past. I don't have my comments on this until and unless there is something really concrete to tell you. But we are on it.
Yes, sir. Sure, sir. And then the second question is slightly more related to the geopolitical scenario right now. So, has this changed any of our strategies around gold hedging, particularly around the gold metal loan? Like, we've been doing it in the past, but are we anticipating to increase that in future, or we plan to keep it at the same level?
So, we will be exploring GML in this financial year, perhaps for buying the new buying of gold that will happen for the upcoming stores. And how we generally play a safeguard is we have our weighted inventory at about 20-25% lower than the current market price. So whatever we buy, we try to maintain it in the range of, let's say, whatever the new buying or new absorption of gold has happened, it should still, the weighted average still has to remain at least 15% lower to current market price. Now, you know, so if there is a correction and all, we can straight away hedge it on the forward markets. So to answer your question, yes, we are looking for GML. The practices are quite good. We are not a company who is looking forward to realize all our profits once the gold prices has gone up and, you know, jump in to sell all the gold in the market, etc. We maintain certain percentage of, you know, certain percentage wherein of cushion that is required, you know, to even if there is an absorption of gold, to what extent we can absorb. And then obviously once the pricing are coming to parity, we are sure to hedge it.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raj Shah from RK Family Office. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Raj.
Yeah, hi. This year there was a volume degrowth in our Jobwork business. And in the last quarter you had told that Jobwork services are in demand and due to the price rise, Jobwork services are in demand. So what is the outlook for FY27? How many KGs do we target and what is the order book?
So generally, if you see the value of merchandise in job work last year and this year, you will find that there is a significant increase. Now, when you say about the quantity, if the gold price has doubled and let's say the revenue, you know, has not doubled, that means there is certainly going to be a dip in terms of quantity, you know. Now, you know, what we see in what I had told in the last quarter was that there is a preference that corporate jewelers are having because of steep increase in price that they are going for job work instead of wholesale business. And thus, there is a, you know, a change in how the demand is getting to us. And we as a company would always prefer job work because we get gold a little bit in advance, hence you know, it's a better thing for us. But given that in quarter four we are seeing some difference. In quarter four the wholesale sales actually increased, you know, to 56%, and you know, some of the people who were doing job work tilted their demand into wholesale. The better way of looking at this is, you know, this is combining the B2B segment of both the, you know, streams, that is job work KG plus wholesale KGs, or, you know, and then multiply it by the average value. So just to give you a perspective, the total amount of value of merchandise this year that we have sold is 1251 crores. The retail segment has done 408 crores and the B2B segment has done 843 crores. So this will be a better picture to look at. And, you know, thus both the things will get combined. So in and looking forward, we don't know whether the demand will go in, is going to come from job work much, or the demand is going to come from the wholesale. But in whichever way the B2B demand is coming, we are just equipping ourselves to serve it. If you ask my preference, I would really go for job work, despite it not showing top line.
Correct. So the reason I ask this question, because I think in the current year, like bulk of our significant portion of our profit is because of our job work services. And if in next year the job work services are lower, then it will take a good hit on our profits. So that is the reason why I'm asking about this.
So, you know, if you check the value of merchandise, now if it is coming from job work or wholesale, the value of merchandise should actually increase. What is the value of merchandise? This year it is 1251 crores. Now, say next year, if job work remains, for an example, just a case, if job work remains consistent at 621 crores and wholesale increases to, let's say, again, couple of hundred crores, still the bottom line will be secured. If you are talking about margins, that, you know, the margins will improve or improve depending on the sales mix, because job work is contributing highly in terms of, you know, the bottom margins, etc., then your point is valid. But if you're talking about the absolute number change, then we should look at the value of merchandise.
Okay, got it. Then currently there is 336 crore kg of gold on our balance sheet, and the gold price has risen. And there is reduction in volumes in all our three segments because of course, price has increased. So do we still need 200 crore more gold for Rajkot and Surat, or it has reduced and some of our current gold can get transferred?
So there is a 336 crores of inventory which is lying. I don't think so. It is kgs. And yeah, that is fine. But the intention of your question is quite clear, that how much do we need in Surat and Rajkot. So these are large format stores, like how we have in Ahmedabad. A typical large format store will need an inventory of somewhere around 125 to 150 crores. So there will be inventory shift, there will be an additional debt which will be required, and hence all the showrooms will be funded. We see Surat and Rajkot both as a very potential market. Ahmedabad ranks number 7, Surat ranks number 9, and Rajkot ranks in the top 20 economies of India. Hence, the large stores are, there has to be a large store, and it is in the right prominent location where the gold market is basically situated. And thus, the amount of inventory that we are forecasting is required, doing all the competitor analysis, the consumers, etc. We have previously done exhibitions also in this area to, you know, and we have got sufficient marketing budget to push it. Yeah.
So, sir, the reason I'm asking is
because I request you to join back the queue.
It's in continuation. This is the last question I'm asking. So, what I'm asking is, gold price has risen and volumes have reduced. And because of that, do you think that the earlier estimate of our 150-125 crore of gold in our new showrooms is required? Because due to rise in gold prices, volumes have decreased. That's why I'm asking that 120-150 crore, has it reduced? And because volumes is not coming in our current business, some of our current gold can get transferred for Rajkot and Surat.
Correct. So again, I think I had answered this. So there will be a transfer of stock in terms of kgs. But your fundamental question was that if we are allocating some rupees, then will it get reduced? The answer is no. Why? Because people generally, when the gold prices are rising, still they are, you know, their value does not, the budget does not change. Unko 10 lakh ka lena hai, to 10 lakh ka lenge, right? For an example. Okay, now 10 lakh mein kitna milega, wo different hai. 100 gram milega, 80 gram milega, that is different. But generally, people, the behavior of consumer is to buy from a budget perspective. Now,
so the peak debt will be increased, right? Or what will be our peak debt after we take this loan? Because currently 120 crores are in short term debt.
We want to keep the debt levels at 1:1 ratio ideally, or 1:1, maybe leverage to 1.4, 1.5. But generally, right now, I think for this 4 showrooms, it will be around 1:1.2 at peak, at least for this fiscal year that I am understanding.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shikhar Mundra from VWalk Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arichik. Congrats on a good set of numbers. What was the approximate inventory gains this year because of the increase in gold prices?
So, it's a nice question. So, currently, I do not have a number on it. But in future, let me take this up into, you know, number categories and etc. stuff. But I think assuming that around 10 to 12 crores or 10 to 11 crores or 12 crores should be inventory gain number. That is what we are anticipating on the, you can, I mean, if gold prices were not to increase, I think somewhere around 40, 45 crores should be the pack. I'm still, see, this is just a very, very, don't take me on numbers, because if we are having it, I would have said it. Right now, we don't have that inventory gain number as such. What we really have is the cushion that we have from the current market price to the inventory, and that is around 20-25%.
Okay.
So, we're not...
assuming no inventory gains, then what would have been our profit growth like compared to last year, FY25? I'm just trying to get that. So if you say 40-45 crores, then that's not a big jump.
Generally when we calculate, gold, if we were to do a GML, like how other players do, then the interest cost should have been half. Right, so we would be saying somewhere around 8 crore rupees in our interest cost, and subtract the inventory gain maybe, and that will be the math. Exactly, if I could have the number, I would have given it to you. Right now we don't, but I hope that in future this number transparency will be better. I just hope it. There is no commitment.
Got it. And my second question is, our trade receivables have jumped from 17 to 56. What's the reason for the same? So this must be
24th of March. There was an exhibition in Bangalore, IIJS Tritiya, and those, okay, because of exhibitions, there was a spike in sales. That's it. Akshay Tritiya this year came in a little early, if you understand, from 30th of April 2025 to 19th, right, April 2026. Hence, that last 10 days of March were a little bit of, there was a little bit spike in sales. And the debtors, now it has come down again to a normal level.
Got it. Right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Yash from Dante Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi. So just wanted to understand, I think you shared the number, kind of missed it. What would be the inventory required for the next upcoming 2 stores?
So, inventory, generally, both the stores are large format stores. We anticipate about 125 to 150 crores of inventory for each store.
Are we anticipating any sort of dilution to fund this?
No, I think in the raise of debt plus inventory transfer plus the profit gain would actually suffice it.
As far as the next 3 years are concerned, because I think you are very focused on Gujarat as a state, right? Just wanted to understand why the focus on Gujarat. Is it because you're a local player there? Because, I mean, you anyways do a lot of wholesale, right? So I'm assuming you have supply chain networks throughout. Why not Mumbai, right? Why not any other city? Just curious, not questioning anything else.
So that is fine. It's a good question, in fact, you know. So if you look at Gujarat and pinpoint the pan-India players that are present in Gujarat, there are 4 to 5 players who are having approximately a nil level presence in Gujarat. They are having maybe some 6-7 stores. Just take out the data from any stats and, you know, maybe all the pan-India players, you can take it out. Apart from a one player, there is no other player who has penetrated the Gujarat market or been successful. And in Gujarat, there is particularly no chain brand. So that's a clear white space that we are having.
But why is that?
Why is that? The market is great. There are southern pan-India jewelers who have not been able to cater to this market well. And hence, we have an opportunity over here. I mean, we should realize this as fast as possible. We should become a good jeweler, you know, a chain store in Gujarat, and because there is a clean white space. Now, just take out the number. You know, I cannot, but if you take out a number of, let's say, an eastern player or a southern player having X number of stores in a particular state in which it was their home ground, I think those many numbers of stores we should be having in our home ground if the GDP data and the population data matches, and which matches. Right, Gujarat is a prosperous state, and that's a clear white space available, and hence this thought, you know, after a lot of you know, debates and things have come out to be very clear that yes, we should go forward for this thing.
But is it? Do you so just pick the original question? Do you think in the next 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, when you're looking at growing your retail business, which you obviously are, do you think it's wise to be concentrated in just one state? I got your POV in terms of the lack of retail chain presence in organized jewelry in Gujarat. But what would you think, like 5 years ahead or 3 years ahead? Do you think it's wise for...
So there is a vision and, you know, aspirations 100% are there, you know, in future to expand. We are certainly right now, we are a single flagship store. We are going to have, let's say, 4 stores in this calendar year. But, you know, and we are talking about becoming a good player in state of Gujarat. But we are not restricted to Gujarat itself. Let us first, you know, play out this 4-5 stores, etc. well. And, let the pulse come. I think we are 100% aggressive in terms of scaling. If you look at post-IPO things, you will understand that, you know, when we came to IPO, our turnover was around 300 crores. Now we have reached, let's say, 600 crores. The profit margin was X. The PAT level was 22. We have reached to, let's say, 50-55. We'll be scaling, and the company has got aspirations to become big. We are not restricting to any of our, you know, states or anything like that. Let the opportunity come. Let the capital.
Right. So what's been your biggest challenge?
I would request you to please join back the queue for follow-up questions.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to 2 questions per participant. We take the next question from the line of Rajendra Pasi from NP Analyst. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. So, hi, Harit. My first question is, initially we planned that we are going to open the 2 stores, like one in early Q2 and the other one maybe in late Q2. So is the timeline still correct? And about the showroom 3rd and showroom 4th, do we have any estimated timelines now? Previously, because you didn't provide any estimated timelines for the 3rd and 4th showroom, which you are talking
so,
right now.
Yeah, so I think the timelines for Surat and Rajkot remain same, and the timelines for the 3rd and the 4th store, still it is a little early to give, but we should be opening in the season time.
But within this year?
Yeah, within this calendar year.
Okay. And the other question would be regarding a sharp increase in the fixed assets as well as a sharp increase in the current work in progress. So is it related to these two showrooms which are going to be open in Q2?
Correct.
Okay. And as you mentioned that as Akshay Tritiya came in early this year, right, on 19th of April, and you had a big sale in the Bengaluru side in the late of March, and that increased our receivables to 56 crore this year. So what is the current status of receivables as of today?
The current status, it has gone to a normal level, basically. Cannot actually disclose the number, but you will certainly get it in the quarter one of the results. But yes, there was a spike and it has now reduced. Generally, the debtor days in wholesale are approximately 30 days. So the realization has happened.
Okay. And how this quarter has been for us up until so far? Since because now there has been a speech and the
very honestly,
sentiment is
very
unsure.
Yes. No. Very honestly, I'll tell you. See, post Modi, we are also gauging, right? And you are also gauging. And whatever the anticipation is, I think ground level reality will matter the most. You know, all the assumptions, etc., you know, we will not be working on that. We will be working on what the customers and the real-time demand is. Now, how has been April? April has been very good.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Om Gole from Adit Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. Yes, sir. My question is recently that like our Prime Minister told that everyone should not purchase the gold for 1 year, right? And also we are planning to open new stores in Q2 and Q3, right? So how we are going to face the situation? Like what will be our strategy to pull the demand and all? So this is my first question.
So, the Prime Minister has requested the, you know, you all know what the announcement is, and let us see what the impact of that words, you know, are and how will it remain. India is a much rooted in a traditional, you know, country. So certainly if there is weddings and the Prime Minister has said etc. stuff, will that really, you know, stop the, you know, buying of gold jewelry? And you need to have social status, there is a lot of traditions that are going on. I don't think so. Things are going to really, you know, let's see, again, what you're telling me about, what you're asking me is about strategy. And what we are seeing is that there is a huge market, there is a new market that we are exploring, and you know, we are in this game for a very long term, and hence this kind of things will come, and because of our marketing spend, if we were expecting X, it will be X minus some percentage, but in the overall kitty, it has to really grow. Currently, I really don't have, you know, that level of, you know, I really don't have, you know, exact strategy saying, but exchange of gold is one thing that everyone is looking forward. Likewise, we will also look forward. Is that going to make everything just perfectly okay? We don't know. The best part about our company is we are in occasion jeweler more. Hence, all the demand is linked through weddings. So daily wear purchases here and there can really take a pause, but I don't think so daily wear, occasion wear will actually take a pause, you know. And perhaps let us go all in for the occasion, you know, the upcoming market, like, you know, the season time. I think rest, you know, see, we as an organization will go all in for the season times. We will not, I understand the sentiments and etc., but the announcement has come on a very favorable time. It's a low season time. if the announcement has come on the Akshaya Tritiya day and etc., it would be very different, but not that condition as of now. And
yes.
Let us see. Let us see. Yeah.
Okay. Well understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saurabh Dole from Fires Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I have two questions. First is, when you say the stores that you plan to have in, let's say, a city like Gandhinagar, I'm curious to know why would you start with a small store? Is it, for capital constraints or you're not as positive about this particular market versus, let's say, your current Ahmedabad market? So that is question one. And the second one is, when you talk about the two stores, Surat, Rajkot, what is the, how much time will it take for these stores to kind of come to Ahmedabad level sales? You did about 400 odd crores in FY26 from Ahmedabad. Roughly on a volume equivalent basis, when do you think it will, Surat, Rajkot being the next at these levels?
So, first question was Gandhinagar location. Gandhinagar comes into the northern side of Ahmedabad. From center, Ahmedabad, is a 10 kilometer or 12 kilometer radius kind of circle city. And Gandhinagar just comes at around 15 kilometers or so. It's a very good location to have, basically we are having a presence in the north of Ahmedabad. It is going to act as a feeder store and also certain kind of, it's the right catchment area because it is any catchment which is spread 7 kilometers far is considered to be a good area to open a retail store. It is itself a nice city. It is one of the prominent city in Gujarat. A lot of advantages is what we are able to see. There is a market over there and also the brand itself, the brand presence, will, if the people are seeing multiple boards of that same brand again and again here and there in the city, the brand is going to increase, the visibility is going to increase basically. So yeah, Gandhinagar seems to be a very promising and strategic location. The second store will be on the eastern side of Ahmedabad. Again, it will really have a good impact on the brand overall, because then we are having, three stores in Ahmedabad or in and around Ahmedabad. Now, the second question about Surat and Rajkot, how the sales are going to turn up, etc. Whenever the store is happening, it is happening for a very long period of time. We generally do a long-term lease agreement. So, this is too much a nascent kind of a stage wherein we would comment anything and I don't know, ultimately what it will land to, but let the time pass, let a month pass, we will understand how the market is reacting, right? There might be another news coming up suddenly, we don't know, right? The market will change sentiments, and I think you people are much better in understanding how quickly market changes the sentiments. So we will just wait and watch. We are good at our domain, at what we do, and we will continue to do that, be it expansion, be it generating better profitability, be it growing the organization, being fundamentally investing in the company's infrastructure. This is all things that we will continuously do.
Right. No, Arthur, the first question, the main thing was that why would you start with a smaller store? Is it just because you wanted to be
It's a strategy. It's a large format, mid format and small format are three formats of stores that just company will generally have. We have got two large format stores in Surat and Rajkot and two mid format stores to start with Gandhinagar and Maninagar, which are considered to be a strategic location. So any market which has a lesser population will have mid-format stores. Let's say if a market has a 50 lakh population, like Ahmedabad has some 70-80 lakh population, there will be a large format store is good over there. If a Rajkot market has a population of, let's say, 20 lakhs, 30 lakhs, it will be a large format. If a market is having a population of, let's say, 10 lakh people or 8 lakh people or 6 lakhs people, then there will be a mid-format store. It depends on the size of the market and then the decision will be made. It has got nothing to do with other things.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sahil Patani from Strokes Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand, what is the capacity utilization for FY26?
The capacity utilization is approximately 50% or 55%.
Okay. I know in one of your slides you mentioned that you are targeting maximum peak capacity utilization by 26. So is this, can we say like 50-55% is your peak, or do you think we have more room to grow before like going into like further capex and taking on more expansion?
See, when I did an IPO, it was in 2023 December, let's say 24 fiscal year, the price was 60,000 rupees. Okay, my single artisan was able to do, let's say, 800 grams to 1000 grams per month, and hence I calculated the capacity to be, let's say, 2 tons. They have, we have 200 carriers. Now the gold prices has increased from 60,000 to 1.5 lakh. Now the same artisan is still doing 1000 grams. Okay, he has not, his potential is to do 1000 grams. So in rupee wise, my capacity has increased to, let's say, 3000 crores from, let's say, 1200 crores before, right, in, when I did the IPO. So because of the value of commodity, price getting increased, you know, it is right now, we are in a comfortable state still, despite doubling our revenue, you know, and I think right now we are not looking for any kind of capex in manufacturing setup. We are at a comfortable scenario.
Got it. Thanks for that. And my second question is, Harit, with these 4 new stores coming up this year, by how much are you expecting to grow your top line and bottom line for 27?
You know, I think in the scenarios like this, we would really not give out the guidance for this year. Not that we are not optimistic for it or anything, but, you know, let us reserve this guidance. Let us talk about the month of April or mid-May. It has been good. April has been very good. You know, May we are yet to have 15 days more, so we cannot even comment about the month May. But I think to talk about future or coming season or etc., we are optimistic. I can just say that we are investing, but we don't know exactly, you know, what is going to be, you know, how the scenarios are going to turn up, etc. The market is huge, market is big, you know, it is not that India is a concrete consumer market. So nothing diverse or inverse is going to happen. We are, and hence we are looking, you know, for the market very aggressively. There might be a haircut here and there, but we don't know even if that is going to happen or not. Let us wait and watch. You know, there is no guidance for this year, frankly saying.
Okay. Yeah, that is fine. Basically, because previously, you know, whenever you guided, you more or less met it, right? So it's fine that you're taking a pragmatic approach. But we expect in the coming quarters, when you see kind of the picture getting clear, you kind of give some sort of
estimate. I would be very honest, you know, in that case, you would be getting guidance or etc. stuff. It is too early. The government has just announced it in a very recent time. The market has reacted in a different way. We are waiting how the consumers are reacting. And, you know, it is too less a time for me to judge, channelize, or, you know, understand anything and tell you.
Yeah, no, makes sense. Thank you, Arita, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dipesh J. Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead. Dipesh, please unmute your line and proceed with your question.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Harit. Sorry, I've been late. Just landed there. Just wanted to understand. Have only 2 questions. One, with Shringar coming into wedding jewelry, how much of you know, a competition would you face? Have you, especially into the B2B?
Not really. I mean, seeing their, I think they are coming into a plain gold segment of wedding jewelry. We are into an antique segment of wedding jewelry. So, as such, there is no competition. On the other side, the Ahmedabad antique jewelry is very different from, you know, another regional antique jewelry. And generally, when a company comes, it takes, you know, time to mature itself in terms of any goods, whatever the product category they offer. You know, right now we are not seeing any impact of Shringar as such.
Okay, great. That's very heartening to know. And the second thing is now with the current, I mean, the gold prices increasing, a government focus on, you know, reducing gold imports, more of, especially with this duty and cess increasing, a lot of gold from the black market would come in. How much do you see that, you know, the corporate business will be affected because of this? Because there will be a difference in the prices which the corporate will offer and what the normal jewelers can offer.
So, see, you are partially, you know, correct that the prices of you know, the unorganized or the local jewelers would be different from the corporate jewelers, or their cost would be different, let's say. But consumer market will run on the brands and, you know, the trust that they have, etc. So it is again too soon to gauge anything because the news are very recent. You know, let the time pass. I think a couple of months or one month at least to observe will be a very nice thing. In fact, a quarter will be a very right thing. I think by August 12, when we come up, we should be able to say something more better and concrete. And how the IIJS turns up. You know, I know you have been visiting IIJS and etc. But
yes.
I think market sentiments and sure. So I think let us look at the market and I think still from the company's point of view we are optimistic, but at the same time we are conservative. We are conservative in the sense that we will, you know, we are from the current market level, the inventory is 20-25% you know, conservatively kept. And I think those are the good signals that we are having. Otherwise, we are optimistic in terms of a long-term expansion plan.
Right. And if I can squeeze in one more question, you know, how confident are you, especially with the new store openings? You think that, you know, even in this kind of scenario, you will be having all the openings and on the prescribed date only, or you want to, you know, go slow? How you as an entrepreneur are looking into this?
So we want to enter the market in a season time. Market is big. Opportunity is there. There is a clear transformation from the unorganized market to the organized market. We really think there is an opportunity. Doing all the studies about the pan-India players and etc. in Gujarat, their presence, etc. is really motivating us to go ahead very, you know, as fast as possible and covering the market of Gujarat. I think we should, from the company's point of view, we should not waste more time and scale as much as possible. Short-term hiccups and all are okay. We are here for the business and for long-term. So there is no question about consumption and there is no question about the transformation. Both are happening. The short-term things can, yeah. I mean, ultimately, if you see, Modi has told that 1 year purchase nahi kariye.
Right.
It will not be it is not going to be long enough. Otherwise, also this is on a lighter note. But the statement will, you know, let us see in a month or two what is actually happening. Otherwise, we are in for store expansions.
Okay. So always a pleasure to talk to you, Harit, and all the very best. And
thank you.
All the very best for the store openings. And we're looking forward to be in the store openings also.
sure, Dipesh.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I want to understand, you made around 92 crore EBITDA in FY 2026. So can you provide me a breakup how much of it was in B2C and from B2B, like a ballpark number to understand?
I think I don't have the numbers very much handy as of now. You are talking about the margins and etc. But what I can really tell you is, I think from the revenue contribution side, sales of merchandise, if you look at it, we have 1,251 crores, which is the total value of merchandise. Now, if you divide it into B2C and B2B, around 850 crores or 840 crores is into B2B, and 408 crores are into retail. Now, breaking that up, I think it's a 33-66 ratio. And generally, we get lesser margins in wholesale and in a B2B segment than in a B2C segment. I think there is a 3% or so margin difference. So I think that will be sufficient for me to you to derive every numbers, be it EBITDA, OPM, etc.
Okay. And also, we are into antique jewelry, and antique jewelry is the highest margin segment, in terms of markups or whatever. So.
In terms of gold jewelry, yes. In terms of gold jewelry, yes. Otherwise, diamond would be the highest margin segment. But in gold jewelry, antique will be the highest margin segment.
Okay. So generally, so the difference between gross margins in B2B and B2C would be just 3%?
So when you talk about B2B and B2C, the gross margins, I was talking about the OPM, but even if you say the gross margin, it depends on the national retailer or the regional retailer or the local jeweler whom you sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
But generally, would you provide me a range at which, for example, I think retail would be around 10%-15% gross margins you might have, and then you might have to expense it because.
Yes. Retail would be around 12% or 14% GP. Wholesale will be around 7%-8% GP. B2B will be around 6%-7% and 8% GP, yeah.
I have a couple of questions. We'll get back to them.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raj Shah from RK Family Office. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Raj.
Yeah. So after considering Rakuten Surat, what will be the peak debt, and are we comfortable at that number?
See, business is fundamentally right. Now, leveraging debt, we are right now under-leveraged. I think we are very much comfortable given the position we are in. To even have this year, we are having an equity of 300 crores. By the time we open showroom half year, we are almost in the quarter two of the next year. So I think we are in a very comfortable situation with respect to debt equity ratios, etc. Don't see any challenge over there.
So 1:1, we are targeting 300 crores of equity and 300 crores of debt overall, broadly?
1:1, 1.2:1, 1.5:1 is what we are targeting. It should be good. I mean, that's the right we particularly believe, even if you see in the peers, competition, etc., people work at a high debt level and meet any of the larger companies, etc. And I think those debts are reasonable enough. 1:1 is, in fact, a right thing, but we can leverage it to 1:1:1.5 also.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rishi Kothari from Capital Bridge Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my question. On the retail front, I want to ask.
Sorry to interrupt you, but your audio is not clear. Could you please use your handset?
Yes.
Is it audible now? Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's audible.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking my question. On the retail front, which more or less companies focus on going forward, as you said, that we have two sets of retail store format. One is flagship, another is mid-tier market segment kind of a format, right? So it is that you categorize those, because we go with population thing, that is, at all there is a certain particular thing. We have our retail format, channel profit, but are there big other factors that influence the sort of retail format we go with from population that we can as well opening stores from somewhere?
So basically the demographic study that we'll be asking for, what is the, you know, grammage of gold consumption per capita is what, you know, we will be understanding. We'll be studying the competitive markets. We'll be studying the, you know, the space that we really have inside that area, etc. We would be wanting to study, you know, in the catchment area of, let's say, around 7-6 kilometers. Do we have another opportunity? You know, what, you know, there is a lot of, you know, research that goes into it, but you know, ultimately, if there is a marketplace and if it's a growing market space, we would certainly want to go in. We have an understanding about merchandise quite deeply, as we are attracting into the same market of Gujarat, right? So Ahmedabad, we have got a very good success despite having zero legacy. You know, the store is new, fresh, the brand is new, fresh, and we have proved that in a few years in retail, even in the jewelry segment, things can roll up very easily, you know, and it gives us a real motivation to actually go forward and, you know, dive in other marketplaces.
Okay, understood. Makes sense. Now, following up to this question, I mean, of course, you already have to open new stores in the PA1 city, but do we have any sort of future plans? Which is, I know it's a bit early to ask for it, but the tier 3 or tier 4 cities we have, I think this is a small set of jewelry shop format where I think most of the market that you're looking at is pretty much unorganized nature. I think that's where the real market capture could be for us. So are we have that sort of future focus for the company?
See, if you're talking about placing the brand into tier 3 or tier 4 cities, if there is a consumption, I mean, why won't the brand go? Let us map out which are the low-hanging fruits, and basis on that, the strategy will be prepared where to really place ourselves or not. Currently, if you look at it, in Gujarat, Ahmedabad, Surat, Rajkot, Baroda are four prominent cities. We should be targeting at opening this kind of cities and making the brand more stronger by opening more stores within the same city. So, if there is a good opportunity, for a tier 3 or tier 4 city, we see that we will go forward and we will do it. But as of now, in this calendar year, 4 stores is what is coming up, 2 large and 2 mid.
Okay.
But the company is open for any kind of retail stores for the coming year, in the coming years, if the opportunity is there.
Okay, understood. Got it. Thank you so much for answering the questions.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Yash from Dande Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to understand, I kind of understood what you just explained about how your wholesale manufacturing capacity is at 50 to 60%. With our retail growth endeavors for the next 2-3 years, when do you think our capacity will hit higher 80-85 digit numbers in terms of capacity utilization?
See, even if the retail stores are coming, the retail model is also getting the work done. We are also getting the job work done from other vendor players.
Okay.
So, this first is that using the in-house capacity versus doing the combination of getting the product sourced plus doing in-house. I think the combination really works well. And at least for a couple of years, let us understand where the gold prices is heading, you know, what is actually happening, and then take a call. See, to increase the capacity is not a, it is not going to be that much of a problem. The supply basically is not a problem. So the issue would be that, you know, if the gold prices jumps from here to, let's say, 2x, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. Even 60,000, we thought the prices are high. So, you know, if it is, then there will be no, almost no need of in, increasing capacity from here on. But let us study, let us understand the market better. Right now we are at 50-55%. That is the truth.
Right. My second question is regarding this whole studded jewelry segment, which seems to be the highest margin, highest growth business. You're looking at Bluestone, CaratLane, a couple of new age you know, players coming in. Especially, I don't know about West India, but at least as far as South India is concerned, studded jewelry is doing really well as a segment in terms of margins, EBITDA growth, revenue growth, top line growth. What I do get the focus on antique jewelry, but I want to understand from you that from lab-grown diamonds to studded jewelry, you know, everyday jewelry, what's your view on these segments? You know, when are we going to do something in this sort of a market?
So right now we are not doing lab grown diamonds. Right now we are into the daily wear jewelry and the occasion jewelry, be it antique or diamonds. How much aggressively we are looking for studded jewelry, that is a diamond jewelry, that if you are asking that type of a question, company will have a, you know, company as a whole has a view of still you know, being into the segment of antique jewelry and realizing its potential. So you have seen that, okay, diamond jewelry does well in terms of margin, but in gold category, being the safest category, antique has a very good margins. So and it's a very safe thing to play. Now with gold, you can really take the, you know, you can really take the risk of expansion, and there is no cash flow stoppage in this because gold itself is liquid. So it's a good place to be in. If you strategically look at it, you can explore, experiment, you know, and if it, you know, fails even, let's say, 5%, 10%, then you can remelt it and reuse it. With diamond, it becomes tough. You need a very different kind of an ecosystem, etc. We as a company, will be developing that. And the strength is antique jewelry. We will be utilizing the strength for the expansion. So we are keen on taking aggressive steps to in all the categories, or taking forward the steps in all the categories, but aggressively looking at antique right now.
Right. No, but do you see potential in the categories that I just mentioned to you?
Yeah. I see potential in diamond jewelry, studded jewelry. Why not? There is a market.
Right. Because obviously, I mean, just on the diamond jewelry, I did read a post, you know, by Economic Desk saying that diamond, natural diamond jewelry is hit a decade low or two decade low in terms of their pricing, right? Natural diamond jewelry. So that is one thing. And the second thing is that at least as far as the next generation is concerned, right? The Gen Z or the generation above that, as far as they are concerned, I think they are more into everyday jewelry, nothing too flashy, you know, and solitaire and lab-grown diamonds and studded jewelry in a very basic sense. So I really hope you kind of look at that segment too a little more seriously. The antique jewelry is a great segment, but I also believe that the studded jewelry is a low capital intensive business compared to, you know, pure gold business.
Let us look at the market. See, the size of market for antique jewelry itself very, very big. So when you're talking about other market, like, are we having diamonds? Yes, we are having diamonds as a category. Are we looking forward for that thing? Yes, we are looking forward for that thing. Now, lab-grown and all, we are really not looking forward. And as for the consumer behavior goes, the Gen Z and all, the first shopping that any girl does by herself is her wedding jewelry, right? So you can really take an example of your own families, you know, that when a girl genuinely selects a jewelry for her own, that is the first occasion, is always the bridal occasion. And post then, when she enters the stage of 30s, she basically enters into the daily wear segments of jewelries, celebrating her anniversaries and joyous occasions, etc. So when they are selecting the bridal jewelry, we are right on it. We are sitting on the antique jewelry segment. So who is catering to the first customer who is going to be a Gen Z customer looking forward for a gold jewelry? It will be our brand. In the positioning way, I mean the occasion wear. What you're talking about daily wear, yes, Gen Z will wear daily wear, but when? Are they going to wear daily wear jewelry like gold and all in college times? No. Post the college time when they are getting married in the occasion wear, and then they will be buying the daily wear jewelry on their anniversaries, etc., what I mentioned. Hence, this is how the consumer behavior is working for us.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rajendra Pasi from NP Analyst. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Rajendra.
So I wanted to ask, like, as the gold prices have risen so much, right? So across industry, we are seeing a trend that there will be, you know, exchange of gold will happen more as compared to the new gold buying by the customers. So what kind of trends are we seeing right now, and what do you anticipate on this part?
See, the sense of, you know, it is too early to comment on what is the trend that we are seeing. Like you, we are also observing. Are there walk-ins in the store? Yes, there are walk-ins in the store. Is the business happening? The business is happening. Now, if you're telling me to show a trend, basically we will be motivating people to exchange gold. Do they really want to exchange? Depends on them. Do they want to listen, not listen, behave in whatever ways? We are here to analyze and then react. Okay, our intention is to sell jewelry in whichever mediums it is possible, be it exchange or be it a fresh buy. Now, you know, I think more or less it is... you know, the gold prices have risen, etc. This has happened in past, in historic ways. Gold has always risen. And we see that generally 40 to 50% of the jewelry is exchanged. And 40 to 50% or 50 to 60% is a new buy. Will this trend change? I don't know. Let me gauge it for at least a month or two or a quarter.
So, as of now, you are saying that it is already at 50-50.
Yes, it is showing the same momentum, a little bit exchange has increased, but this is too soon a data. I mean, what I will tell you in 3, 5, 10 days.
Yeah, that is fine. And my second question is, like, from, and if I have heard it correctly, you mentioned that from the starting of FY27, we have started on the daily wear segment as well. So,
yes,
what kind
correct.
Of, yeah. What kind of growth are we expecting, or do we have any internal numbers from the retail side, or what kind of, you know, orders are we expecting, or have we had any discussions from our wholesale side, whether it is from the job work or B2B side? So
we are in daily wear segment. We are already doing good daily wears in terms of our retail store. The consumption is approximately 35% of daily wear and 65% of occasion wear. Now, when it comes to B2B segment, we are doing a pilot testing. In IIJS, we will be launching a few varieties of daily wear. Let us sense how this comes across. Post that, I think, post the learnings and the learning curve will be developed, and then we will be telling you how are we really launching it, or, you know, this is just a pilot testing that we are doing for B2B side.
And in carat terms, like, what all have we launched as of now, like from 10 carats or maybe 18 carats, 20 carats?
Yeah, so antique jewelry, 18 carats is what we have really sold in the quarter 3. There is a good interest of corporates looking for 18 carat antique jewelry. The company has also made some color stone collection which was needed again by a corporate, and it has turned out to be a positive response. But these are collections. Let us see the longevity of it. Let us then understand what kind of market. Generally, the sense is that low caratage antique jewelry is still in experiment. This season or this coming year will actually be able to translate that what, you know, how much kg will be produced in that category. But yes, we are producing 18 carat jewelry as well as a little bit of color stone jewelry also that we have got orders and we have dispatched.
And what about from the daily wear side, on the carriage side?
So daily wear side, we are, I told you, right, pilot testing has been done, and in August we will understand what is the, you know, how did it work, did we get orders, you know, do we need to improve our products much better, you know, what is to be done. That segment will, you know, we would understand it better once, you know, we get the reviews from the market in a very stronger way, and that is the right platform for that would be an exhibition.
Got it. But as you already mentioned that we are already doing 35% in our retail showroom, right? So can you provide like the details on that part, like what kind of carat are customers generally, you know, picking up?
18 carat is generally picked up more in terms of growth. 18 carat is gaining more growth than 22 carat. But 22 carat still remains as a preferred category.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question, and we conclude the question answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relationship manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Valorem Advisors, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.